fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We've got a big show for you on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving here in the U.S. And while we'll all be talking on Thursday's show about the things we're thankful for from 2019, just want to tip off today's show by saying I'm thankful all our listeners have enjoyed listening to me this year, because every day I've been here at VOA, I've enjoyed speaking with you. So on that Turkey Day note, I'll bring you this cute report I found about how to set the odds for an American Thanksgiving Day tradition. And that's the family American football game. Now, in some households, Thanksgiving Day brings lots of family, maybe 20 or 30 people with grandparents, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, gathering for a day of relaxation and celebration. But one of the traditions is watching football on television, and perhaps with the gridiron inspiration from the pros, some families will play their own game of touch football in the backyard or at a local park. Perhaps there's some friendly wagering about which side of the family will win the game. So one bookmaker now has a rubric on how to set the point spread. Ed Donahue of the Associated Press has the story.
In this new age of sports betting, even Thanksgiving pickup football games are not safe. Usually the games before the meal are played in the backyard or a nearby park. Bookmaker William Hill US has set up a formula to generate point spreads to add some fun to the face-offs. If there's a college football player, past or present, on the team, that's 3.5 points. Is Uncle John drunk again or hungover? That's 2 points. Everyone on the team clear-headed? Minus 2 points. Cigarette smokers or those considered extremely out of shape will either add or take away a point. Other criteria for the spread includes whether a player had run in a Thanksgiving Day road race. That may mean they're too tired for football. I'm Ed Donahue.
Thank you, Ed. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a Thanksgiving Day road race tomorrow, but there's always the possibility I might go for a run. We're joined by one of our fastest friends in the studio, the head of VOA's Swahili service and resident NBA expert, Momoyo Hoops Hamza. Sporty greetings, Momoyo.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Good to be here again.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. We're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm heading to the airport after the show to go see my family in Cleveland, Ohio.
And lots of basketball and football games to watch.
The weekend ahead will be a fun-filled sports weekend for sure. So, Momoyo, I was busy working on playoff baseball and World Series baseball when the NBA season started in late October. It's hard for me to believe. Like, these teams have played 16 or 17 games so far. It's a month into the season. So I just want to give the listeners a quick rundown on where things stand. I'd say that the standings in the Eastern Conference are just about what we'd expect, with last season's top playoff teams hanging on to their positions for the most part. The Milwaukee Bucks are in first place, having won 8 games in a row, led, of course, by Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'd say it's not surprising to see the Raptors and Celtics and 76ers on the top as well, but I wasn't expecting the Miami Heat to be 12-4. The one thing I notice about the Heat is they have 7 players averaging double figures this season, and that's led by Jimmy Butler. So, Momoyo, let me ask you about what you think of the Eastern Conference so far. Let's start with the Boston Celtics and Kemba Walker. We talked about the Celtics a lot last year with Kyrie Irving arriving and a little bit of dysfunction there. Now Kyrie is playing for the Brooklyn Nets. Kemba Walker's been a great fit, and the Celtics are hanging in there with another injury to Gordon Hayward. Kemba Walker missed a little time recently with a neck injury that he sustained last Friday night. So how do you think Kemba has changed the atmosphere in Boston?
He has done a lot for Boston. And as you say, he had this scary neck injury last week. But fortunately for Boston Celtics, it was just a sprain. And he is scheduled to play tonight against Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, unfortunately, Kyrie Irving is not going to be making the trip. There,
so,
right?
Yeah, so the matchup, you know, is not as exciting as it would have been. But you know, Kemba Walker is he's averaging 21 points this season. He's among the most durable players in the NBA. In the first 3 seasons that he played, he never missed a single game. So, you know, the injury was, you know, very scary. But as we say, it was, it happened to be just a sprain. So he's going to come back tonight. But I think Boston Celtics will be cautious with him because as a neck injury, you don't want to give him too many minutes.
And it's still early in the season.
It's very early in the season. Boston Celtics, they're doing very well. I mean, for a while, they were leading the Eastern Conference. So they're winning games. Their chemistry is clicking very well. I heard Marcus Smart saying that, when Kyrie was playing with them in Boston, it wasn't a matter of them fitting with him. They didn't know what he was thinking, how he's going to fit with them. So maybe that was a misfit, whereas Kemba Walker has come in and fitted right away with the Boston Celtics.
You know, one thing I remember about Kemba Walker playing at the University of Connecticut is that he established himself as kind of a glue-type player, adding cohesion to the team. He didn't have to be the top scorer or the number one player, but he was able to elevate the team overall.
Yes, he's a top dog in terms of how he plays, you know, passing the ball, involving everybody. He's not a top dog by scoring a lot of points.
Right. So let's look at the defending NBA champs in the East. That's the Toronto Raptors. They're still a strong team, obviously, but they lost Kawhi Leonard to the LA Clippers in the offseason. But Cameroon's Pascal Siakam is averaging 25 points a game. And just the other night, Toronto and the Raptors held Siakam's countryman, Joel Embiid, scoreless for the first time in his career. What do you think about the Raptors?
Surprisingly, they're doing very well. They're holding fourth in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, I don't know why people are surprised. They didn't lose much. They lost Kawhi Leonard, of course. That was a big loss. And then they lost Green. But they kept their team intact. Siakam is still there. Van Fleet is still there. Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka. So the crew that was the focal point for their play last season when they won the championship is still there. So that's why I think they're doing, you know, very well. And I'm not surprised that they are, you know, that within a striking distance of even leading the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and Kyle Lowry, the sort of venerable veteran guard, still keeping things together in Toronto. So now for the last Eastern Conference team that we'll look at, let's talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. So the other day, Giannis had 15 assists, part of a triple-double in the Bucks' win over Portland. I think the Bucks have won 8 games in a row. Giannis is on track for a historic season because his assists are going up, but he's still averaging over 30 points a game. He's almost getting 15 rebounds a game. So now, with Kawhi in the West, are the Bucks the Eastern Conference favorite?
Definitely. As well as he played last season, Giannis is having a phenomenal season this year. With his, you know, he's averaging 31 points, 6 assists, and at least 2 blocks, just as you pointed out. And we knew coming into this season, after that rude awakening in the playoffs last season, when he was checked and kind of told that, hey, you still need some more experience, it appears that he took all that experience in and he's applying it now. So he's leading his team, you know, with great plays, and he's doing exactly what what people are expecting him to do, and that's why Milwaukee Bucks are leading now the Eastern Conference.
So let's move on to the West. I'm actually surprised about this. I mean, LeBron James, one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA. I'm not surprised that the Lakers have a winning record. The addition of Anthony Davis, one of the best young players in the NBA. Obviously, that team is going to be improved, but 15-2, 8 straight wins. Let me ask you a quick trivia question. Who's the head coach of the LA Lakers?
Good question.
It's Frank Vogel.
Frank Vogel,
Frank
yeah.
Vogel, who used to be the Pacers head coach.
Exactly. So the coach doesn't have a big name. LeBron has played for three teams, Cleveland, Miami, and now Lakers, winning championship with Miami and Cleveland. But I think of all the teams that he has played for, this is the first time he has a 1-2 partnership that is just as good as he is. I mean, you can make an argument for Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade when he was with Miami. But with Anthony Davis, it's just different. I mean, and in this partnership, you see how the passing, excellency of LeBron James can be utilized, because Anthony Davis is getting feeds that he was never used to. He's making a lot of easy baskets, and LeBron, so he's scoring and he's getting more assists this time than, you know, in the previous season.
And I saw a story the other day that here's the 8 wins in a row, and the Lakers, the analyst was saying that the Lakers haven't even really been playing that well, so that they're kind of sleepwalking, and they still have 15 wins, so they have room to grow as well as the season progresses. Let's start this next question by listening to this recap from Tuesday night's game between two of the big Western Conference teams, the Dallas Mavericks, who hosted the LA Clippers.
The LA Clippers won their 6th straight as they defeated the Dallas Mavericks 114-99, ending the Mavs' 5-game winning streak. Clippers built up a 16-point lead at halftime, led by as many as 24 in the second half, and never looked back. Clipper defense held the Mavs to a season-low 38% shooting, limited Luka Doncic to just 22 points, just 4-for-13 from the field. Kawhi Leonard led the Clippers with 28, Paul George added 26, and Lou Williams had 21. Bob Stevens, Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. So, Moumoya, what do you think? Are the Clippers possibly setting up for a Western Conference Finals where there's not going to be a road game? It's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers playing every game at home?
If you can put Houston away, though. But that's a very good, a likely setup between the Clippers and the Lakers. As we said, Lakers, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis. Clippers, they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Last night in their win against Luka, against the Dallas Mavericks, they really pressed on Luka Doncic, to the extent that he didn't appear to be the player that we are used to.
And he's
to
been
see him.
Incredible.
He
for
has
two
been
years.
Phenomenal. Very, very good play. He has had a number of triple doubles this season. High number triple doubles. So he's playing very well. But last night he came against the defense of the LA Clippers. You know, led by the Claw.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
And, you know, I read that with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the floor at the same time, the Clippers are by far the best defensive team in the NBA, which will certainly help them in the playoffs. Here's what Kawhi had to say about playing defense last night.
We wanted to do the best job we could on Luka. He's been killing it lately, playing at a very, very high level. And, we just wanted to make it difficult for him tonight and get some deflections. And I think we were able to do that.
So that's Kawhi Leonard talking about the Clippers' defense over the, you know, the Dallas Mavericks almost beat the Warriors last week by 50 points. Can you believe that? And the Warriors, look, they're in last place in the West. Let me ask you that real quick. How far have the Warriors fallen? Could they make the playoffs, do you think, or are they out this season?
They're not going to make the playoffs this season. I mean, that's obvious. With Steph Curry out with a hand injury, he's not going to come back until maybe mid-February or even March. So the Golden State Warriors, you know, the higher up you go,
they're running out of time.
They're running out of time. Right. They're building up right now. They had their run. They dominated for 5 seasons.
Right.
So, you know, let them see what others were experiencing.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Moumoya. This was a great chat, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you too, man.
So we pick up our conversation from yesterday with Bill Bamberger, whose collection of basketball courts and basketball hoops photography from around the world is on display here in Washington, D.C. And he was telling me about this interesting court he photographed in Rwanda.
The backboard is made of common lumber, likely from the village, and the posts, there's two posts, and they look like the trunks of trees. They look like they're actually hand-hewed tree trunks pulled from the nearby village.
Yeah, that's
very simple.
Those are really, it's a really striking photo, and we'll make sure that on the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page that we let our listeners see some of the resources that you have available and the museum has available to get an idea about some of these photos. We're talking with Bill Bamberger, documentary photographer, who has an exhibit called Hoops that shows off basketball hoops around the world, and he's talking about his experience in Africa. So, Bill, let me ask you about seeing where this basketball hoop was in Rwanda. What do you think about where basketball fits into the sports scene in that country and the sports scene in Africa overall?
Basketball is huge in Africa. I mean, I have not been all over Africa. I've been to Rwanda, of course, as I mentioned. I've spent many trips to Rwanda over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. I also traveled throughout Namibia and even in remote little towns in the middle of nowhere. I think that, forgive me if I mispronunciate, but Oshu, a little village on the way driving across Namibia, I came across a court that's actually a netball court. It's a sport very much like basketball, played mostly by women throughout Africa and Australia and other places. It has no backboard. And it's also one of my favorite images. It's so minimal and beautiful. But, you know, basically, as a visitor to these places, who is in the case of Namibia, I was traveling with my wife-to-be, and we were doing a drive. We ended up going on a safari in the northern part of Namibia, but we were really just exploring the country. It's a vast and beautiful country. And we would stop along the way in little towns, and in almost every town there would be a court at the center of town. Sometimes it would be at the school. Sometimes it would be in a gathering area. But you find them everywhere. And traveling in South Africa, there's also a couple of images that are actually in the exhibition from just outside Cape Town, one in particular in Khayelitsha, one of the townships. And again, it's sort of the build of the court suggests kind of the resources, or in some cases, in this case, maybe the lack of resources that are available to this community. And yet it's so interesting to see how this court is still constructed and has a place of reverence adjacent to a school. So I think Africa, you know, is one of the great places to photograph hoops. It's, of course, the biggest and most popular sport in the world, and in Africa is football, or soccer, as you say, here in the U.S. And there are also some courts in this project in Africa and also in Mexico where the backboard is held up by a soccer goal. And I think that's kind of fun and interesting. There's one in I'm looking at one now in just outside of Mitla in Mexico, and you see mountains in the background, you see fields, and then there's actually a poured court, and it's in the middle of nowhere. So there's nothing else but clouds and sky and mountains and fields, and it's a beautiful handmade backboard made out of wood, a white rim, and held in place by a soccer goal with a net, this kind of hybrid structure. So basketball fans know that basketball is growing. We're closing in on football internationally. It's the second most popular sport in the world by most metrics, and certainly the second most lucrative, and there are leagues expanding everywhere. So that's just something interesting to think about as, you know, as someone who was born and raised in North America. Basketball is the only sport that was invented in North America that exists now both an Olympic and a professional sport.
So we're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sunny for the next couple days. We're talking with Bill Bamberger, a documentary photographer and a teacher at Duke University. And Bill's talking about his photography exhibition called Hoops. Bill, I was thinking about your project, and I wondered, first of all, if it's a kind of evolving thing. Are you still encountering basketball hoops in your travels that you're taking photos of? And a second question would be, have you ever come across a court where you haven't had your good camera with you and you've had to use an iPhone or something like that, or you haven't been able to get the shot at all?
I was So I'll answer the second question first. Yes. And it's funny, rarely, but I was giving a lecture actually at Middlebury, and I was in Vermont, and I was racing to the airport, and I had a little point-and-shoot, a Canon point-and-shoot camera. And I came across a court that doubled as a hockey rink. And it was, and there was with snow everywhere, and it was the wintertime, and I just thought, this is great. I love the multi-purpose nature of courts. Now, you know, I never photograph inside, but you see a lot of indoor courts, and also like places where people vote. They're in community centers and schools. And so you see that as well. But the multi-purpose outdoor court I thought was great. I had to get the shot, and so I took it with a lesser camera. Most of the ones in the series, I've had my camera with me, and so, you know, and I've had the time to stop and take the photographs. But all the international ones were done with a digital camera. In the U.S., I shot with film as well. It's harder to travel with film internationally. I can't think of anywhere I've kind of completely been without my gear, but what I have seen is like a friend who's visiting Russia, who's an expert on Russian studies, says, oh, I saw a great court, and he'll take a picture on his iPhone and send it to me. And I think, gosh, I'll be to Russia in the next few years. Same from Hawaii, you know, places around the world where people go and they see these hoops now, and they're sending them to me and tagging them.
So you have you have scouts all over the world helping you out with this project.
Those are my scouts, exactly. We're not recruiting. They're not scouting for recruit. Well, they are recruiting. They're recruiting for the project. So I do have my scouts. I can't remember what part one of your project.
So as this goes on, I mean, like you just said, you've got basketball courts in different parts of the world that you haven't seen yet because your friends have been sending you their iPhone photos. Are you going to continue to develop this project as the years go by? Are we going to see the Hoops project continue to evolve?
Well, you know, it could be a lifetime's project, Dan. I don't know. I'll give you the straight answer first and then the joke. But it's so much fun to do. And it's nice as an artist who has a project that you can take anywhere. You know, I went on vacation in Guatemala with my family and two families who were close friends as well, down to Lake Atitlan. And along the way, there were some wonderful courts, and I stopped and photographed. So I was working and on holiday at the same time. That's pretty great. So wouldn't it be wonderful if I could travel the world over the next 5 years and really just do this project? But the reality is, for anyone in my business, you know, you have to fund these projects. And unless someone comes along and says, hey, Bill, here's a budget, could you just go travel, do this? I cobbled the project together now. It's been 14 plus years of doing this, at times fully dedicated and other times doing other projects. When you have a national show, like at the National Building Museum, which is kind of a comprehensive exhibition, it is permission to say, stop, do something else. But it's hard to imagine stopping now because the project is so much, is such a pleasure to do. And as you mentioned, there's so many other places that I'd like to go to. I have a handful of students in my class who are from China originally, and, you know, one who actually is an exchange student. And there's so many courts, they tell me, in China. It's so popular. And it was exported to China basketball early on in the history of the origins of basketball. So there are many courts there, and wouldn't that be fascinating to add to the project? So,
yeah, that would be great. Well, Bill, I really enjoyed talking with you. I enjoyed walking through the gallery here in Washington, D.C., and seeing the exhibit and seeing the way that it was put together. I want to congratulate you on putting a sport that we all know so well based on the actions of the heroes on the floor into a slightly different perspective by kind of honoring the venue instead of just the outstanding athletes that participate in the sport. So thanks for your good work, and thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports, Bill. That's Bill Bamberger, documentary photographer. His hoops exhibit is on display here at the National Building Museum in Washington, D.C. for just another week or so, but you can still check out his photography at billbamberger.com. And Bill encourages our listeners to send him any photos of interesting basketball courts that they encounter. You can reach Bill at bill@billbamberger.com. And that wraps up the November 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger and engineer Thomas Blondette. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington. Sonny is back for Thanksgiving. That's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, South Sudan's president and chief rebel leader postponed the formation of a unity government for another 100 days. Inside the political turmoil in South Sudan, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, managing editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
One of the most iconic features of planet Jupiter is its Great Red Spot. The Great Red Spot is actually an ongoing spinning storm vortex raging in its atmosphere. Scientists suggest the spot has been shrinking and that it could someday disappear. Researchers from the University of California, Berkeley, and Rice University in Houston, Texas, say reports of the demise of the Great Red Spot are greatly exaggerated. In findings presented at the annual meeting of the American Physical Society's Division of Fluid Dynamics, the researchers say there is no evidence the storm's vortex has changed in size or intensity. They did point to recent photos of large red flakes being ripped from the red spot, but that it is a very natural state of a vortex covered with clouds and not a sign of the Great Red Spot's death. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
On December 6th, Border Crossings will bring you the greatest songs inspired by the soul genre. You'll hear smash hits from Three Dog Night, Mama told me that's good. Holland Oates, and George Michael. If you like these tracks, you'll love our Soul Inspirations theme. December 6th on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.